Amen. Thank you, Matt. I asked Matt to sing that song because after I got saved as a young man, that song came out. And it really just meant a lot to me. I really could identify with the words, and that's always been one of my favorite songs, I believe by a guy named Michael English, if I remember right. And but that's also what we're going to talk about this morning, in Christ alone. We're going to be in Galatians 2. We're going to look at verses 15 and 16 this morning. And we're going to be talking about being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Saved by grace alone, not by works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:9. Once you're in Christ, there's no more boasting. Amen. You're saved by grace alone. Grace meaning God did something for you that you could never accomplish on your own. You're saved by grace alone, and you're saved through faith alone. We live in a world that says there's a lot of ways to heaven. Can't read the Bible and ever come to that conclusion. The Bible is clear as the day is long, and I'm going to show it to you again today. There's only one way to be justified before God, to be made right with God, and to have eternal life, and that is through Jesus Christ alone. So we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus Christ is God's only way to eternal life. God's only way to ever be forgiven and be able to be in a relationship with your Heavenly Father that created you in the first place is when you believe in, and when I say believe in, from a biblical perspective, that doesn't mean just acknowledge stuff about Jesus. It means you believe in to the point that you trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, and you put your faith in Him, literally, every day of your life. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. I thought I was going to get through verse 21, and I realized very quickly that's not going to happen. So we're going to cover 15 and 16 this morning. So the Apostle Paul says, we are Jews by nature. Now, the we is the Jewish Christians, Paul and these other Jewish Christians. We Jewish Christians are Jews by nature, meaning we're Jews by birth and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Now, when he says that, he's not talking about the Gentiles in an evil and immoral way. He's talking about the Gentiles as being a people that don't have the law of God. They don't have the Word of God. And so Paul says, we Jewish Christians are Jews by nature, by birth, and not sinners from among the Gentiles, meaning that we do have the law of God. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified, meaning he's not declared innocent before God by the works of the law, by keeping the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. In fact, Paul says, even we Jews have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law, no flesh, no man will be justified. Bottom line, man has a spiritual problem that he cannot remedy on his own, and that problem is that his very nature, his heart, is sinful, meaning he cannot keep God's law no matter how hard he tries, and that sinfulness separates him from God because God is holy. The word holy means to be separated, to be separate from. So man has been completely separated from God because of his sin. He's been set apart from God because God is holy, and he will not and cannot permit sin in his presence. But then look at what Paul says in Romans 3, 21 through 24 in your notes. But now, a righteousness from God, meaning a right standing before God, apart from keeping the law, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. In other words, the Old Testament scriptures testify to this. And this righteousness from God, this right standing before God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned. How many of us have sinned? Amen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all fall short of God's perfect standard, His standard of holiness and perfection. The Bible says, we've all sinned and we all fall short of that, yet we are justified, listen to this, freely. When something's free, do you work for it? No, it's given to you as a gift, amen? So we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption. The word redemption means that you have been delivered from sin, according to Scripture, that came by Christ Jesus. So you are saved by grace alone, not by works. You are saved through faith alone, and you are saved in Christ alone. So how can sinful mankind be delivered from sin and be made right with a holy God? Well, Paul introduces what's called justification by faith in this passage. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ, who redeemed or delivered or bought back human beings, paid for it with His own blood, bought us back from sin and death at the cross. In other words, Jesus spilt His innocent blood, and I say innocent because the Bible says that He was tempted in every way, just like you and I are, yet He never sinned, Hebrews 4:15. And so Jesus spilt His innocent blood on the cross to deliver us from sin once and for all, the Bible says, Hebrews 10:10. But why did Jesus have to die? Why did Jesus have to die for us? Because that's the penalty for sin. That's God's penalty for sin. Remember, God is holy, which means He's completely set apart from all sin and will not allow sin in His presence. Therefore, sin must be eradicated. Sin must be eradicated for a person to have a relationship with God. And so the penalty for sin is death. Now look at Romans 6:21 through 23. Paul says, "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things that you are now ashamed of?" In other words, what benefit did you really reap from the sins at the time, from the sins that you are now ashamed of? Those things, those sins, Paul says, result in death. Now let me ask you this. Have you ever noticed that sin always results in the death of something? Sin always results in the death of something. It can result in the death of a friendship. It can result in the death of a marriage. It can result in the death of a family. It can result in the death of your freedom, your own life, your peace, your joy, your trust, somebody else's trust in you. I could go on and on and on. Sin always results in the death of something. And Paul says in verse 32, "But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness." In other words, now you're brought back into a love relationship with a holy God, and the result, the Bible says, is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18, because this is important for us to understand. "For God so loved the world that He gave..." Draw a circle around those three words, that He gave. What did He give? He gave up everything for you and I. He so loved though every person in the world that He gave up everything at the cross for that person. He gave up His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to take away sin, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." And whoever believes in him, that is Jesus Christ, is not condemned. And whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And this theology of justification by faith that Paul teaches here in the book of Galatians is also what Peter and these other Jewish Christians were denying by their actions, pull back from fellowshipping with these Gentile brothers in Christ. One author says, and this is important to understand, by the way, in the New Testament, these and other forms of the same Greek term, justification, are variously translated by such English words as justify, justification, righteousness, just, righteous, and justified. And all of these translations refer to the sinner being made right with God through faith in God's one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Point number one. Justification refers to the gracious act of God in making the sinner right with himself through faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Write that in your notes this morning if you're taking notes. Justification refers to the gracious act of God in making the sinner right with himself through faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Put another way, listen to this. God forgives the sinner. God releases him from the penalty of his offense. God regenerates his heart. And God receives him back into a personal love relationship with himself that he was originally created for in the first place. And God does all of this, the Bible says, because of his love and by his grace when the sinner believes and puts his or her faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ for their salvation. So what exactly is the person of Jesus Christ, and what exactly is the work of Jesus Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. I put it in your notes. Let's look at that real quick. The person of Jesus Christ, and this is very important to understand. The person of Jesus Christ, he is one with God the Father. You can go home and read that in John 17. He is one with God the Father, and he is God with us, the Bible says, in Matthew 1:23. He is God's one and only Son and one and only Savior, John 3:16 through 18. And therefore, he is Lord over all, Acts 10:36. And he expects our full surrender of our lives to him as the Lord of our lives, Proverbs 3:5 and Matthew 22:37. What about the work of Jesus Christ? What was the work of Jesus Christ? He was God in the flesh, the Bible says, who came to earth and lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way, just like you and I have been, yet he never sinned, Hebrews 4:15, which allowed him to be the perfect sacrifice, God's perfect sacrifice to take away sins and fulfill. Jesus would fulfill all of God's law perfectly while he lived 33 years before he went to the cross, Matthew 5:17. Therefore, he was God's perfect sacrifice on the cross to take away the sins of the world. You can read about that in Matthew, Romans, John, and Galatians. And that's what it means to believe. And again, when I say believe, I mean to put your faith in, to trust in the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ for your salvation. Now look back at verse 16, Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have also believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Paul is saying, look, and this is important to understand. He's saying, look, I mean, I'm a Jew, you're a Jew, and even as Jews, God's chosen people, We cannot be made right with God by trying to keep his laws, because it's impossible. We've tried. We've got the t-shirt. If anybody should understand this, it should be us Jews, because we've lived under God's laws and have clearly seen this truth for ourselves. And that's why he says we have believed in Christ Jesus, verse 16, in order to be justified not by keeping the law, but by our faith in the person and the work of God's one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Because we could never keep the law for ourselves. Nobody knows that better than the Jews. You see, the problem with trying to keep the law, don't miss what I'm about to tell you. This is gigantic. The problem with trying to keep the law to be okay with God, and this is also known by theologians as work-based righteousness. The problem with trying to keep the law to be okay with God is that the root of the problem is not just a man's actions, but his heart. Human beings were born with sinful hearts, with a sinful nature, Romans 5:12 and Romans 7:14. And that's why Jesus said we must be born again. Look at John chapter 3, 3 through 5 in your notes. Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, truly, truly. Now, when Jesus says truly, truly, that's his way of saying, listen up. What I'm about to tell you is critical. What I'm about to tell you is vital. So listen up. I say to you, unless one is born again, and it's interesting that the word again here can also mean from above. And so Jesus is saying, listen, I'm telling you right now, unless one is born again and from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, well, Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, the physical birth, and born of the Spirit, spiritually reborn from above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand that to enter into God's kingdom, one must be born again spiritually. Put another way, changing the way a man behaves on the outside won't make him right with God unless God himself changes the man's heart on the inside. And only God can produce spiritual rebirth in a man's heart. I love what one commentator says. He says, to enter God's kingdom, you must not only be born physically of water and flesh, but also supernaturally of the Spirit. And God's Spirit invisibly does its work on the inside of the human heart. Point number two this morning. Number one, justification refers to the gracious act of God in making the sinner right with himself through faith, circle those two words in your notes, in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And not just believing facts about Jesus, but putting your faith in him and trusting in him for your salvation. Put another way, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord, you are surrendering your life to him. And when you put your faith and you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that means you are trusting in him alone for your salvation. And the Bible says when you do that, you are born again spiritually. John chapter 3. And then number two this morning, no amount of good works, no amount of trying to be good enough, no amount of what you can accomplish is or law keeping is ever going to make a person right with God, because a person's heart must be spiritually transformed from the inside for him or her to be declared right and acceptable to a holy God. Look at Romans 8, 3 through 4 in your notes. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, the sinful nature of man, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, this is important to understand. When it says in the likeness of sinful flesh, it's very important that you understand Jesus never sinned. It's talking about the outward appearance of sinful mankind. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, meaning he delivered the sinner from his sinfulness, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who are born again spiritually and walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now look back at Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Put another way, now that you've trusted in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from sin and death. In other words, when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you trust in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, transforms your heart and makes you righteous and acceptable before a holy God. And therefore, now you have a choice. You're no longer a slave to the sinful nature. Now you have a choice. And whichever way you choose to walk, according to the flesh or by the Spirit, will determine whether or not you walk in victory or defeat in this life. Paul says you've been set free. You've been set free from sin and death, so choose life. Choose life and walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of life. Point number three, Christ is more than intellectually acknowledging that Jesus Christ died for your sins. It involves trusting in him as your personal Lord, which involves you surrendering your life to him. You are putting your faith and your trust in him as the Lord of your life. You're no longer playing God, trying to run your own life. You are getting out of the driver's seat, and you're getting in the passenger seat. And you're letting Jesus take the wheel to put it in, what's that lady's name, Carrie something? Yeah, that girl, okay? Jesus, take the wheel, okay? And so when you put your faith in him as your Lord, you're surrendering your life to him, and you're saying, Lord Jesus, I trust you to take the wheel. And then, Lord Jesus, I also trust you to be my personal Savior. I trust you to save me from sin and death and make me right with God and give me eternal life. I no longer have to run around trying to make sure my good stuff outweighs my bad stuff so I can be okay with you. Now I live in freedom and I live for you because I'm so grateful for the love and the grace that you've shown me. I'm so grateful that you love me so much that you would rather die for me in the person of your only son, Jesus Christ, than spend eternity without me. Bottom line, faith in Christ means trusting Christ to do for you what you could never do for yourself. In fact, three different times in Galatians 2:16, Paul points out that salvation, listen to this, don't miss this. This is not what our world teaches. Paul points out three times in that one verse that salvation is in Christ alone. Look back at Galatians 2:16. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Number one. Number two. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since, number three, by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. In this passage, the Apostle Paul gives the strongest biblical proof that salvation is clearly by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Therefore, there is nothing mankind can do, please hear this, to add to what Jesus Christ has already done. There's nothing man can do to add to what Christ has already done to save him or her. In fact, that is the one thing that separates all other religions from Christianity. Listen to this. All other religions claim that you're saved or that you get to heaven by what you do. Christianity is the only religion that claims that you get to heaven by what Jesus did on the cross for you, by what he did on the cross and through his resurrection. Therefore, since you've been born again by the Spirit of God, choose to walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of life. Amen. Will you join me in prayer this morning?